Jesus Christ is truth. And Satan, as Christ said, is a liar and was a liar from the beginning and is the father of lies.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. On today's program, we will take an inside look at deceit and corruption in our own government, particularly within the Justice Department, the FBI, and the IRS. But before we begin, I want to offer you a special opportunity to make your voice heard on this pressing issue. Radical elements in these federal agencies have been working overtime to undermine the current administration, in effect, seeking to overturn the last election. We have put together a respectful letter of demand asking President Trump to reassert his control over the executive branch and appoint an independent inspector general to investigate the Justice Department and the FBI. Please contact us right away to receive your letter, sign it, and return it to us as soon as possible, adding your voice to the thousands of others to make a resounding impact. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And now, please stay tuned for this vital look at the crisis of confidence in our government and why we remain hopeful on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. What happens when people can no longer trust their own government to protect and defend them? Well, we are seeing the results all around us. There is a crisis of integrity in agencies that wield enormous power over all of us. On today's program, we take a deeper look at the crisis in American government and how it affects you, and we will look at the biblical solutions. As we begin, Jarrett Stepman is an author and columnist with the Daily Signal, a publication of the Heritage Foundation. He recently sat down in Washington, D.C. with our own John Rabe to discuss the danger of ever-growing government that isn't rooted in honesty and integrity.
When we talk about these regulatory agencies, these are essentially government regulations that have the force of law, but that are made by unelected people that in some way, shape, or form work for the president, but in these huge bureaucratic agencies. And that's so much of our law now, and that's not at all, it would seem, what the Constitution designed for us.
And it is very worrying, especially as you said, the president doesn't necessarily have control over the people who make these decisions. I think that's a big issue coming ahead that maybe a lot of people haven't paid attention to is civil service reform, and allowing the president to essentially change the personnel. Most public civil servants can't lose their jobs. They can't be fired. Even doing criminal things within these agencies, they can't lose their jobs. It's something that would never happen in something like the private sector. And that is worrying. It goes to this idea that people think that there's a kind of swamp in Washington, D.C. There's a kind of deep state, a kind of permanent governance that's uncontrollable, that's unelected. They're pretty much James Madison's worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think that's what it's become, is that the idea that we have this kind of unchecked, enormously powerful branch of government that really isn't within the constitutional structure that was created by the founders. That is very worrying. I think that is decimating the American trust in governance. It's decimating American trust and democracy and things like this. And I think that is one of the great challenges that Americans face. So I think there's a lot of reason to be fearful as an American to see that these institutions have been changed in some fundamental way and that we need to change them back again.
And it's particularly concerning when it affects, our law enforcement entities, and people look now at the Justice Department and the FBI, where it seems like you have these bureaucratic agencies that are sort of running themselves, that aren't accountable to anyone, and that are sort of going rogue. And that's a real concern when these are the justice making or justice enforcing entities, and they're perhaps not really accountable to anyone.
And that really strikes the heart of American governance. I mean, it's the idea that, some men put themselves above the laws. And I think that's what a lot of people see, especially what happened with the FBI, some agents thinking that they had a right to try to overturn essentially the election by the American people. They see these kind of decisions, this IRS scandal from years ago. I think it's why I think some people particularly react to these things, because it does strike at the heart of what American governance really is about, where the people rule. It's not about what the IRS says. It's about what the American people want and what the American people believe. To think that these agencies can be weaponized against citizens arbitrarily, I think, is a disturbing thing. It's a scary thing. It's something that we see in a lot of countries that are dysfunctional or tyrannical or banana republics, as we call them. And I think that's a very un-American thing to do. And I think there's a very good reason to be worried about this and return to what people see as constitutional governments. The American people, through the Electoral College system, elect the president. They expect the president to do certain things. If he has agencies that are openly at war with the president can't do anything. I think that does get to the heart of our system. I mean, that shouldn't be in America.
It does seem that if we're going to, again, take power away from the government, give it back to the people, and expect some degree of integrity in our government institutions, you're going to have to reform some sort of a moral base here.
Absolutely. I think that the founders were inherently anti-Machiavellian in the way that they look at the world. I think that they saw America, they understood that mankind is inherently fallen, that the people, humans, are essentially will fall into temptation. They will do corrupt, bad things. That's why they created a government that had all these checks and balances and countering ambition with ambition. But they still expected the American people to be virtuous people, to have the mores as passed down by the generations before them. What we need to do is create the institutions to balance against one another, not allow too much power in the hands of any one man or any one institution, give broad power to the American people, and hope the American people still have a strong moral foundation so that they can make the right decisions in their lives, so they can make the right decisions for their country. Without that, all these things really don't mean anything if the American people at the end of the day aren't fundamentally decent and good people.
Jared, thank you for taking a few minutes out to be with us.
Thank you very much.
The American experiment in self-government requires people to govern themselves, especially when it comes to moral standards and integrity. Yet, as we look at the institutions of our culture, we see a society increasingly disconnected from biblical truth. My good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy joins us now. Jennifer, your dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, was quick to remind us that freedom, true freedom, is anchored in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God.
You are right, Frank. And he knew exactly what would happen if that connection to God were ever broken. Our founders set up checks and balances in our system because they knew that human nature was fallen and that people would tend to abuse power. But they also expected people to govern themselves, upholding a standard of honesty and integrity. Unfortunately, we've largely cast that aside. And as C.S. Lewis remarked, we remove the organ and demand the function. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. And so we see that the removal of God's truth has resulted in the emergence of a governing elite who lack basic integrity. My dad knew that the antidote to this mess is the truth of God. He powerfully preached the Ten Commandments, not as a way of becoming righteous before God, but as a way of demonstrating grateful obedience to Him. My father offers a prescription for what currently ails us in this portion of his vital Ten Commandments message, honesty, the only policy.
We live in a day when lying has become epidemic in our country. And indeed, it is a tragic thing. Now, the scripture reminds us to be sure that our sins will find us out. This refers to lies as well. In fact, though liars don't usually know it, lying is one of the easiest sins to detect. Most people know liars. And it's a tragic thing. The scripture says that the foolishness of the fool is his deceit or his lies. He thinks he's getting away with something, and yet he really is not. The ninth commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor." This involves, of course, not only lying and falsehood telling, but also detraction, taking away from others their reputation. Now, the estimable Charles Hodge, the light and glory of Princeton University at the end of the last century, the greatest theologian probably America ever produced, he says that this belongs into an entirely different class of commandments than some of the rest, such as marriage or the Sabbath or property, because all of those are permanent institutions in our existence here in this world, in this time. But they will be changed at some future date. But this commandment concerning truth is a part of the very essence of who God is, because God is a God of truth, and truth is the very foundation of deity. It is the substratum of all of God's moral perfections. So we see that truth and lying are extremely important matters. And this is even more clearly seen when we remember that Jesus Christ declares that he is truth. When he stood before that cynic Pilate who asked, "What is truth?" He did not realize it. There it was, standing before him, incarnate truth, staring him in the face, and he saw it not. Jesus Christ is truth. And Satan, as Christ said, is a liar and was a liar from the beginning and is the father of lies. You see, Satan is not only a liar, but what he most likes to lie about is God. And Christ, and the church, and Christians, and the Bible, these are the principal objects of his lies. But hear the truth as it is spoken through that loudspeaker on Calvary's Hill, the cross. God is telling the world there that he is just. For having taken the guilt of the world and having imputed it to Jesus Christ, his Son, the God of all of the earth who must do rightly, the one who has said that he will visit our transgressions with a rod and our iniquity with stripes, the one who has said that he will in no wise clear the guilty, now looks down upon his own beloved Son, one whom he has loved everlastingly. And there he pours out his wrath for sin upon his own Son, that the world may know that God's word is true. Sin shall not go unpunished.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, God takes his law seriously. And as lawbreakers, all of us deserve his wrath. But in Christ, we can find forgiveness and grace. And it's this astonishing grace that ultimately transforms us. That's why it's such a tragedy that we have largely removed God and his standards from public life. You know, there's an old familiar joke that says, "How can you tell when a politician is lying? His lips are moving." And sadly, we have come to expect deception from those who govern us, as though that is some kind of norm. But we should not. Recently, this integrity deficit has reared its ugly head within institutions we must be able to trust. Yet we now see patterns of deception appearing among key government leaders, even in the FBI and the IRS. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
The FBI, starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
You know, when I was growing up, the FBI were the heroes. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. starred in the series, TV series, The FBI. He was one of my heroes, and I got to meet him when I was taping a video one time. It was a thrill. But that was long ago.
All we're asking for is a chance to save your lives.
And now the FBI has grown into this enormous organization whose powers are far-reaching and whose powers could be abused if political partisans get a hold of it, which apparently is exactly what has happened. I don't recall any time in American history where the FBI was used as a blunt political instrument. There's a pattern of corruption here that's far and deep, and Americans are wondering if anybody's ever going to be punished for it.
Earlier this year, a Reuters Ipsos poll found that 73% of Republicans agree that some members of the FBI are undermining the president because of political motivations. In contrast, just 3 years ago, 84% of Republicans had a favorable view of the FBI. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint decries the recent politicization of some of the key departments of our government.
The Obama administration just completely destroyed the Justice Department, what they did with the IRS, what State Department, what we were doing around the world. A lot of Americans didn't know. We were promoting abortion. We were promoting gay marriage. We were doing all these kind of things around the world. And it's going to take a long time to dig out of it.
With the FBI top official, who has been kind of an example of one of the worst forms of political corruption, as he was confronted in congressional hearings. One of the things that was brought up was that he was unfaithful to his wife, that he committed adultery. And the Democrats on that panel, that congressional panel, were in an uproar.
How many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, it's outrageous.
They said that it was indecent to bring up that this man had been unfaithful to his wife. Well, the reason why that was brought up is if a man will be unfaithful in his private life to his wife, how do we know that he will uphold his oath to office? So in order to drain the swamp, I think it's very important that we are free to speak of our faith in God and that we are accountable to God, and that's something that is valued, not something that should be silenced.
One of the tragedies of the recent example of a few key bad apples among top leadership in the FBI is the way in which the rank-and-file agents might get tarred with a broad brush.
I happen to know a couple ex-FBI agents who are honorable men, and they're appalled at what's going on in the FBI.
Meanwhile, critics maintain that some of the top leaders in the FBI have acted in purely partisan ways.
If you look at the top people involved in the FBI, former Director Robert Mueller, former Director James Comey, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, they all had deep liberal political ties. Andrew McCabe's wife ran for the state senate in Virginia and got more than $700,000 from people connected to the Clinton family. How could they possibly be nonpartisan?
But the problem of corruption in our federal government is not contained to just some bad actors at the FBI. There have been some problems in the last decade within the IRS as well.
They were caught red-handed, the IRS, in targeting Tea Parties and other conservative groups. Nobody was punished. Lois Lerner, head of the nonprofit division, who was caught doing this, retired with full benefits. She pleaded the Fifth Amendment. Nothing happened to her.
And the former president denied that the IRS under him did anything wrong.
You're saying no corruption?
No.
None. No. There were some boneheaded decisions.
Out of
a
but local no mass office. Corruption.
Not even mass corruption. Not even a smidgen of corruption.
I think a lot of this official corruption stems from a deeper problem, which is the corruption of America's culture by a humanistic elite that is trying to push God out of the public square everywhere it can. It began in the schools, and it went to the Ten Commandments monuments. They'd like to sandblast the mentions of the Bible and Moses off the Supreme Court facade, if they could. But in a sense, they don't need to, because they've removed it from so many places in American society that a lot of people are morally adrift. They've embraced moral relativism.
Believing in God is foundational for a sense of righteousness, a sense of morality, because we recognize that there is a God that we are accountable to beyond this life. And that takes effect not only in what we do publicly, but privately.
The crisis in our government and in our broader culture is very real. A departure from truth and integrity is leading us down a disastrous pathway. But we of all people should have hope, and that is true in these present circumstances as well. We have developed some important resources that will show us the way back. Our own John Rabe joins us now. John, tell us about the resources that we have, not to just talk about the problem, but to give us some idea of where to go.
Well, Frank, the first one is a brand new book that we commissioned from veteran Washington journalist Robert Knight. It's available exclusively from this ministry, and it's called A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom. Bob Knight, in this book, takes a look at the ways that the hard left and the secular left has subverted our culture, and he presents us with a roadmap from a biblical perspective to recapture the culture for Christ. It's an eye-opening book, but also an encouraging book, because it shows us that all is not lost and that we can indeed win this battle if we commit ourselves to it.
Now, with a title like this, A Nation Worth Fighting For, that sounds pretty dire. Are you of the opinion that we're at a place where the battle is so important that everyone must be engaged?
Definitely. This is an election year, of course, and we've seen the battles that have taken place in this nation over the past 2 years since the election of 2016. With an election again just around the corner coming up in a few weeks, this is a pivotal time in our history, and we're on a precipice. You can see it falling one way or the other way. This is the time for Christians to get engaged, and Bob provides a roadmap for each Christian to get engaged in that battle.
We will be happy to send you a copy of this very important and very practical book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom, as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. John, as part of our research, we talked to a great number of people to solicit their opinions about the nature of the problem and the way forward. We have a resource that brings us some more information about that too, don't we?
That's right. In addition to the book, we are offering a new DVD that we've put together. It's called The Justice and Integrity Special Report. We talked with a number of experts, a number of Washington insiders, about the crisis that we have in our government right now, where the institutions that are supposed to be protecting us, institutions like the FBI, like the Justice Department, and then other institutions like the IRS, are being wielded essentially as weapons in the culture war, and they've usually been used against Christians and conservatives. There's a crisis of faith in our government, and we have some great experts who talk about that in this video, including former Senator Jim DeMint, who is featured prominently in this. It also features a special documentary report about the crisis that's taking place in the federal government and what we need to do about it.
Well, contact us right away to receive these two key resources as our thanks for your generous donation of $40 or more. Or you can receive Bob Knight's book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom, for a generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 3339. Or call toll free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Standing before Pontius Pilate, Jesus said that he had come to testify to the truth. Pilate's cynical answer rings down through the ages. He said, "What is truth?" Pilate, like so many others, was blind to the fact that truth incarnate was standing in front of him. In our day, uncounted millions effectively do the same thing as they shrug dismissively at the very notion of any idea of absolute truth. To these, if there's any truth at all, surely it must be relative. There's your truth and my truth and his truth and her truth. But the scriptures do not give us that option. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Elsewhere, the scripture declares, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." But what happens when a people reject truth and Him who is the author of all truth? Historically, people took oaths with their hands on the Bible, promising to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, in many courtrooms, this would seem like a quaint custom of yesteryear. But George Washington said in his farewell address that if you undermine religion, you undermine the legal underpinnings of truth and veracity in a court of law. If there's no God to hold us accountable, then why would someone tell the truth if it doesn't benefit them? The recent scandals involving many top officials at the FBI and the IRS are really scandals of truth-telling. And this crisis of truth we're experiencing will continue to get worse until revival brings a spirit of genuine repentance and true regeneration in the hearts of millions of Americans. May God, by His Spirit, make it so. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
John Adams recognized that we not only need righteous and moral people in office, that we as a people have a duty to be righteous and moral.
The founding fathers of this country meant that this was not a secular nation. It was not to be hostile to religion, but it was to accommodate it and encourage it.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.